O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The first time I can recall singing "The King of Love, My Shepherd Is" was, I think, probably in the fall of 2004. I was sitting in the chapel of St. Timothy and St. Titus. Anyone here ever been to the chapel of St. Timothy and St. Titus? Have you been to the chapel of St. Timothy and St. Titus, Rick Reed? Yes, you have. Yeah. It's the chapel at the Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, where we just sat during call day, and Luke Watt will soon be assistant pastor here. So, yes, you've been there. It's the chapel at the seminary in St. Louis, and I was sitting during a daily chapel service, and we opened the Lutheran service book to hymn 709, and I thought, this is a great hymn. I don't recall ever singing this hymn before, or maybe I wasn't paying attention, but it hit me in a way that that a hymn had never quite hit me before, and I liked it so well, and I still do, that this hymn, you know what this hymn is, don't you, Andrea? Yeah, it's my first ever funeral hymn. The first time I died, we sang it at my funeral. No, my first funeral hymn, because it's the first hymn I've ever picked out for my funeral. So at my funeral, if I die and any of you are still around, make sure, and Andrea knows, and help her out if I die before she does, we're going to sing this hymn. Now, Oliver, also, we listened to a podcast that that talked about the song "Go Rest High on That Mountain," and Oliver said you were going to have that at my funeral too. You still going to do that, Ollie? Probably not pleasant to think about Dad dying, but there's hope in Jesus, and we'll get to that in a minute. So now that I've kind of got you thinking about, do you have a funeral hymn? Any of you have a funeral hymn? Several, yeah. I mean, so I'm kind of adding to my list, although I need to update it. There are somebody else shared with me last night, hymn 708 is going to be their funeral hymn. I think that Mrs. Johnson, Pam Johnson, says she likes that one a lot. So you can look for your funeral hymn while I'm preaching if you want to do that, but you can listen to the sermon too. So, and the reason I think about my funeral hymns is one, and now 11 years into being a pastor, and funerals, I think, I mean, it's terrible that people die, but funerals are wonderful because they're all about Jesus, and I think, in some sense, maybe I judge hymns on how well would it go at a funeral. And it tells a story, and it tells who Jesus is, and there's a hope, and it's a confession of faith, and it's wonderful. And then the King of Love, My Shepherd Is, well, it's a paraphrase of the 23rd Psalm. And we said that earlier, and I don't know, some of you maybe didn't even have to look at the bulletin, and if you did, it might have messed you up if you looked down at the bulletin and recited the version of the 23rd Psalm in the bulletin, because most of you probably, you know the Hebrew. You thought I was going to say King James, I was, but yeah, you know the King James version, and so the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, he maketh me. Yeah, so you know that, and so he makes me lie down in green pastures. What a beautiful psalm, and it's first person, and it's David, who, you know, the young shepherd boy who would become a shepherd, a king of God's people, one after God's own heart. But ultimately, the good shepherd is Jesus. And well, how do I know that I can say confidently? How can we know confidently that Jesus is the good shepherd, that the 23rd Psalm is fulfilled in Jesus? Anyone know how we can know confidently that the 23rd Psalm is fulfilled in Jesus? This is not a joke. This is serious stuff. Because Jesus himself said it, right? Yeah, so John chapter 10 is the chapter in the Gospel of John that Jesus talks about being the good shepherd. In 10:11, he says it, I think it's pretty clear, I am the good shepherd. And then he says, and I talked about this with the kids, so the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep, and he makes a distinction between good shepherds and bad shepherds. And in John chapter 10, though, John makes it clear that there's an apparent division. makes it clear and apparent those are synonyms. So there's a division here in John chapter 10. And Jesus is speaking in essentially a parable or a figure of speech, and parables have a function on the one hand of showing who are the people of God and who aren't. In Isaiah, it says that some will have ears to hear and eyes to see or perceive, and some will not. And in verse 6 of John 10, it says, "This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them." And they're divided, and they're still divided. And right before this section here in John 10, 22 to 30, at verse 19, there is disagreement among the people listening, the Jews who are listening, because Jesus has been doing these miracles. And they're wondering, how does he do this? And some of them said, well, the way he is able to do these miracles is because he's possessed by a demon. And then others said, no, there's no way that someone who is possessed by a demon would open the eyes of the blind. He is one who is sent by God. They said, can a demon do such things as open the eyes of the blind? And then we get the sense here in John 10, 22 to 30, the time of year. You notice what time of year it is. It's Christmas. And it says the Feast of Dedication. You'll know what the Feast of Dedication is. Do you ever celebrate the Feast of Dedication? You might with your friends. With 8 crazy days and 8 crazy nights. You know what? The season of 8 days and nights. Hanukkah, right? Oh Hanukkah, come light the menorah. Gather around the table, we'll give you a treat. Something, 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 and pancakes to eat. I learned that song at Lincoln School, public school in Fort Wayne. And it sticks with me. And so there's a dreidel involved in that. And then if you're an Adam Sandler fan, there's a Hanukkah song also. Something Hanukkah. And I didn't look it up. I should have looked it up, but it wouldn't. Okay, so it's Hanukkah. And so the Feast of Dedication is important because the temple in Jerusalem was dedicated or rededicated because there was an awful defilement. It was the abomination that causes desolation. Antiochus Antiochus came in, a pagan, and did something, one of the worst offenses that could have been done in the temple in Jerusalem. He sacrificed a pig on the altar. And so the books of Maccabees talks about the Judas Maccabeus, is that his name? Judas Maccabeus comes in and the Israelites reclaim the temple and they rededicate the altar, and that's where the Hanukkah stuff comes in. That's what's happening there. And now you got some trivia to go along with my funeral hymn. So we're on a roll here. And so here it is during the Feast of Dedication, and still this question, and you heard it verse 24, it says, they're asking Jesus, if you are the Christ, tell us plainly. They just tell us in plain Aramaic. So I don't think it's not plain English, it's plain Aramaic. Tell us plainly if you are the Christ or not. And see, the point of everything that Jesus is doing in the Gospels, well, you and I, we sang this morning, just before the Gospel lesson, what the point of the Word of God is, right? So the point of all the things that are recorded here, the things that were told, because before there was the written word, there's the oral word that is told and shared. The point of all of this is that it points to Jesus. And in John chapter 20, verse 31, and we sang it, right? These things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. And so Jesus, the Good Shepherd, comes, and ultimately so the people would believe that He's the Christ. Not that it's just that they would have bread for a moment, or that they would see some cool tricks, like, hey, He can walk on water, and He can cast out demons. No, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Anointed One, the One sent by God. And so Jesus says, look, these works that I do in My Father's name, they bear witness about Me, but you don't believe because you are not among My sheep. And then Jesus says it very clearly, My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me. And this is discipleship. We've talked about this a lot during Lent, about being a disciple is someone who, you remember this, two things. Listen, they follow Jesus, or listen, and then they do what He says, right? So My sheep hear My voice, and they follow Me. Both things. Not just they hear it, oh, that's a nice idea, and they follow Me. They do both things. And so the voice of God is an important thing. And in the church, as Martin Luther says, one of my favorite quotes of Luther, he says it's a mouth house, not a mouse house. Anyone see any mice in here today? Sometimes bats, but not today. No, a mouth house, not a... Well, this is a microphone. Not a pen house, right? So we hear the word of God proclaimed here, and we hear that in baptism. I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You hear that in the words of absolution. You hear that in the words of institution, and then also in take, eat, take, drink, the body and blood of Christ given, shed for you. You hear that proclaimed in a sermon to you. The church is a place also, Luther says later, he says, wherever there is God's word, it's there that God himself speaks to us, a present tense thing. Joel Okamoto, who teaches at the seminary in St. Louis, he says that Christians live by word of mouth. And Robert Kolb, who teaches over there, he says that our God is a God of conversation and community. Right, so there are things that actually we should want to come together and have conversations and talk about. Well, the center of all that is Jesus, but also community, the things that we share in common. And now we don't share everything in common, but the one thing we have to share in common is Jesus. We have to share Jesus in common. Like, we can't all agree on how hot or cold it's supposed to be here in the sanctuary. Today, I think it's a little cold. Some of you might think it's perfect. We don't always agree on that. We may not always agree on what time to worship, right? So this summer, we're going to try a different time. And some of you are probably thinking, I don't know. You make one little change, it'll throw people off, and then the churches just go right downhill. But this congregation has been here since 1860-something. And I think probably whether we change the time or not, we'll stick together because it's in Jesus, right? And the church has been along even longer than St. John Luther Church and School at 6630 Southeastern Avenue has been here, that Jesus will reign. And the thing that will hold us together is Jesus. And that's a good thing. And so we come together and we gather around his word. Jesus is the word of God. He's the word made flesh. He is the King of love. Because we know that God is love. That's what John tells us in 1 John. So anyway, back to my funeral sermon, because one sickness is eventually going to be the sickness that leads to death for me. I have somehow valiantly survived a heel problem. It took 4 weeks to get over. I wasn't sure if it was some sort of thing that was in my heel that would eventually make its way up to my brain and kill me, but I'm all right now. So I'm a fighter. I'm slightly neurotic. I'm a little bit sarcastic about things. So, anyway, I'm going to come down here for this part. So, the King of Love, my Shepherd is a hymn that I love, one, because it's very personal. And notice here, in the same way that the 23rd Psalm is first person, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, the King of Love, my Shepherd is first person. The King of Love, my Shepherd is, whose goodness faileth never. I nothing lack if I am his and he is mine forever. And I love that I am his and he is mine. See, so we are Christ's with the apostrophe, his treasured possession, and yet we say he is mine. He is my Lord and Savior. And this is something, a relationship that lasts not just for a moment, but forever. And then, where streams of living water flow, my ransomed soul he leadeth. And so we get a picture now, looking ahead into the New Testament. To ransom is to buy back a slave, to buy back a prisoner. We know from sin and death and the power of the devil, my ransomed soul he leadeth, and where the verdant pastures grow, with food celestial feedeth. And maybe you could think about not only the fourth article, fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread, but first article also, the stuff that God gives to support this body and life. But I then very much appreciate verses 3 and 4, right there in the middle. Because a funeral hymn, well, I think all hymns should be honest, but also it tells a story, and verse 3 is really law and then gospel, right? So it's perverse and foolish, right? And it doesn't say, you know, every once in a while I kind of I fibbed on some things. I kind of messed up a little bit, but I was generally a decent guy. No, it says perverse, nasty, messed up, and foolish. Last night, incidentally, Arlene Mazura, if any of you come to Wednesday morning, she was sitting right here. She doesn't always like it if I leave the pulpit, so that was already a win. She kind of was smiling, and talked about foolishness, and one of the Proverbs talks about foolishness, and the foolishness is seen in a dog that goes back and eats its own vomit, right? That's nasty, right? It's just, it is. It's foolish. And so, this is foolishness, things that we do that just don't even make sense, and it hurt us, and it's just perverse and foolish, and then not just, you know, every 3 years I made a mistake. Often I strayed. I wandered away, and then here is, my sermon title, I said, but yet in love he sought me. I was not exactly correct. It's and yet in love. But I think both and or but works here. Because that's the gospel. So here's the law. Perverse and foolish, oft I strayed. And yet, despite that, in love, he came and sought me. Jesus, the good shepherd who had 100 sheep in his flock, as the parable says, and yet leaves the 99 safe and secure and goes up out after the one he sought me. And then it just even gets even more beautiful. And so last night, and so it says, and on his shoulder gently laid. And I said, Arlene Mazura, let me pick you up and carry you on my shoulder like Jesus did. No, I didn't do that. But I'm going to pick Greg up now. No, I'm not. And on his shoulder gently laid. It's because I'm, maybe when I'm completely exhausted or even worse, when I'm dead, right? He's going to pick me up and carry me. On his shoulder gently laid and home rejoicing. See, there's a happiness there. And the joy is found in Jesus. And he brings me home to his Father's house. And there is room not just for me, but for all of my family, all the sheep of his pasture. And home rejoicing brought me. And then verse 4. In death's dark veil, I fear no ill. And again, a direct echo of the psalm. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. In death's dark veil, I fear no ill. With thee, dear Lord, beside me, thy rod and staff my comfort still. And then we get again a picture into the New Testament, thy cross before to guide me. And whether you think of lift high the cross or the last verse of abide with me, hold thou thy cross before my closing eyes, shine through the gloom and point me to the skies. In death's dark veil, I fear no ill. With thee, dear Lord, beside me, thy rod and staff my comfort still, thy cross before to guide me. Thou spreadst a table, verse 5, in my sight. Thine unction, thy anointing grace bestoweth. And oh, what transport of delight from thy pure chalice floweth. And here, hopefully you think about what happens in the church when we gather together and at the altar. And so here is this anointing of grace that God gives, but also this transport of taking us to this feast of victory to gather together with all those saints who have gone before and angels and archangels and all the company of heaven as Christ pours out from his side his very blood, his lifeblood to give you and me life from his chalice floweth. And then verse 6 is doxological. And so through all the length of days, thy goodness faileth never. Christ never lets us down. He never fails. Good shepherd, may I sing thy praise within thy house forever. And so this is it's one of my funeral hymns. I don't know which one. Pastor Jim, if you preach at my funeral, you at least know, well, you've heard my sermon in that sense. But I want you to think about that, to one, that we rejoice in Jesus who is the good shepherd. And we've got this beautiful image here in the back window. The good shepherd who comes after us in love. And sometimes the good shepherd has to discipline, right? Sometimes the good shepherd is one who, he's always about the truth. The truth sometimes can be painful, and sometimes there's shame that, oh no, I've wandered away, but he comes after us. He sends out people, under shepherds of the good shepherd to point to him, to share the good news. And as you leave today, well, and every time you're in here, I want you to think about this window back here. And some of you, I think I asked Peggy Rohde this before. Who are you up here? You're the little one. Yeah. And so I think that's what I want you to see yourself, and you can be up there next to Peggy. Peggy on one hand, you on the other. But Christ, the Good Shepherd, holds us. And he's got 12 sheep. I think it's 12, all the 12 tribes of Israel or the 12 apostles that he holds close to him. And one day, because of the Good Shepherd in the new creation, we'll be there at this feast of victory, drinking from a stream of living water that a thirst is perfectly quenched, all because of Jesus, the Good Shepherd, the King of love who is for you and me. To him be the glory. Amen. And now may the peace that passes understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Amen.